Are you wondering how you can contribute to Funniest Thing?
Don't flip out. Go to patreon.com/funniest thing.
Whoa!
Oh!
I landed that.
Oh!
That would have been crazy.
This one is called The Pants. Take 8.
Yoga!
Welcome to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed, the best-looking guys on the radio. We all know the funniest things happen when we stop taking ourselves too seriously and step out boldly, like Mr. Magoo blindly stepping onto the next swinging girder and falling into an outrageous jackpot. Your hosts, Daryl and Ed, are about to administer a refreshing dose of laughter and love that will inspire you to step out boldly and experience the funniest things. Now, here are your hosts, Daryl and Ed.
Welcome to The Funniest Thing.
Yes.
Where each week we share stories about how stepping out boldly always leads to better than expected outcomes.
That's right.
I'm Daryl.
I'm Ed.
And we're broadcasting live from Chobo Studios in
beautiful downtown Van Nuys. Hey there, Indy. How are you, buddy?
Doing great. It's a wonderful Saturday. How you guys doing?
Good. Everyone loves Engineer Indy. Everyone loves Chobo Studios.
Are you got a new I got a new corduroy Chobo hat.
Oh, wow. Like, I got a stack of Chobo bucks in my hand. If you're on YouTube, you can see it. Funniest Thing, Daryl and Ed.
Make it rain.
All right. So next up, this is going to be a very exciting show because we met this guest through Unity of Santa Barbara.
Right.
And her affirmations and her talk were so positive that I continued to do the affirmations. I think we shared them on one episode not too long ago. Yep. But if not, you're going to hear some of them again today, if we did or didn't.
Yep.
And her name is Chelly Campbell. What are we going to do?
Today's show is called Actually You Can with Chelly Campbell.
Yes!
Life is easier than we think. The only difficulties are of our own making. They are only worn-out beliefs, which are nothing more than repetitive ideas that we've accepted as true. Charles Fillmore, oh, Papa Charlie, suggests, turn the great energy of your thinking upon the ideas of plenty, and you will have plenty regardless of what others about you are saying or doing. On this episode, Daryl and Ed share how nothing can stop us from our desires when we simply think affirmatively and ask divine intelligence what next steps we are to take. And during the second segment, cheerful Chelly Campbell prospers our thinking today with the reading Lavish and Unlimited Supply. And when I asked Chelly about what she might say about herself in terms of, because we usually do the traditional bio that you can read somewhere else or hear somewhere else.
No, we don't usually say anything about him except what we just said.
That's right. I think it's important for people to realize that everyone who practices this stuff is no different than you in some regard, and that the power with which you can practice this stuff, this is not about putting people on pedestals and thinking that there's magic people out there who are more capable than you are. So that's why we like to come away feeling like we're all friends, no matter who comes on the show. But Chelly said, my non-traditional bio is that I always wanted to sing and dance for a living until I did it and was bored. 5 shows a day, 5 days a week for 9 months at Disneyland. Fell into finance and started coaching people to put the fun back in funds and wrote 3 books along the way. Do good, have fun, and make money is my motto. Hobbies are poker, birding, and sci-fi. Well-rounded, you see.
And our next bachelorette is...
That's right. Chelly, can we get a mic on Chelly real quick? I want to ask you, what
I'm here.
I know you were going to talk to you more, but what book do you recommend people starting out with? Because they're already going to be on fire out of what you've written if they want to start getting into your material.
Oh, the number one book is The Wealthy Spirit because it's a page-a-day book. So every page is an affirmation, a quote, and a story.
Oh, that's the books Daryl and Ed love.
Yeah.
I brought one for you.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And again, it's called The Wealthy Spirit?
Yes.
Okay, brilliant.
By Shelley Campbell.
Yeah.
All right. That's right. That's right. So we haven't reminded people how to be a member of the Funniest Thing Club in a while. You want to tell them?
Well, I think a lot of the people who listen to our show are already members. They may not realize it.
Right.
But just in case you're wondering, what is a member of the Funniest Thing Club? Well, I'll let you know right now. We're a group of truth enthusiasts who live each day as ambassadors of God's love. As we consciously radiate love, we perform everyday miracles and experience better than expected outcomes. If you're already living this way or strive to, then you may consider yourself a member. We motivate one another by simply sharing how miracles occurred naturally in our circumstances as a result of living lovingly and expectantly.
Wow. Yes. And another way, if you want to be contribute to the show, go to the patreon.com/funniestthing. We do a Tuesday prosperity course, and Marilee Warren, I just want to read what she said based on the class. She said, "Hi, I would just like to thank Rhonda for speaking up and would like to encourage her with her fitness classes. My favorite classes over the year," because Rhonda was talking about these fitness classes that she stepped boldly into. And, you know, sometimes
that
not,
she teaches.
That she teaches. That's right. Thank you. And that's been her heart's desire. And sometimes, you know, when you're getting started, maybe 3 people show up, 5 people show
one
up.
One
person shows up. And we were laughing because when we do these Zooms, the very Zoom that she was talking to us
she
on.
She was the only guest.
Yeah, we had, I think, yeah, one or maybe one other person. But at any rate, oh, so I think Stephen Thompson was with us.
You're right. It was only one person. So after we all told her, well, wait, it doesn't really matter, the fact that you're doing it. And then Ed goes, well, wait a minute. You do realize you're the only guest on the class we're giving right now.
Right.
You're the only part that, and then she started laughing.
Yeah, exactly. And she and Marilee said, my favorite classes over the years have been the ones with only a handful of people. They were intimate, friendly, and had a cohesion that the big classes never did.
Yes.
When the instructor left for whatever reason, the vibe changed and the core group left. So for those who are showing up, you do matter. Just like these talks, I'm not sure how many people listen, but they do make a difference for me. So hop on the Patreon.
Yeah, Jesus only had 12 followers at the time.
If you contribute any amount that you can choose, you can either participate in the Tuesday 4 p.m. Pacific time Zoom classes, or you can watch them later. A lot of people watch them later, and the main thing is circulating your prosperity, your wealth, in your joy, everything, circulating it so that it comes back to you even bigger and better, and then we lose our fear of letting it go because it's an energy that has to circulate.
I got something exciting.
Let's hear it.
So I've always been a tither.
Yes.
A tither. Like, I've always donated to the places that feed me spiritually.
Right.
But I shouldn't say I was always a tither. I was always a giver, like a donator.
Yeah.
But tithe means 10% of what comes in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the word means, one-tenth,
right,
really.
It's right, right.
From Hebrew. But anyway, so I was never really a actual, I mean, some months I'd give a lot, some but little. I always gave and always ended up having all my needs met, but I never systematically tithe.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning as the money comes in, I go, ooh, okay, that's $120. I can give $12.
Right.
And what's nice now is because now you can tithe the places online,
yep,
with Patreon or
yes,
all these other methods. So since last month was the first month where I stepped out boldly. I'm tithing, like tithing the full Monty.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't have to be to one place. Like, I have several places,
right,
you know, where I feel I'm getting so much from.
Sure.
So I did it last month, and I still had like little pangs. I go, wow, I still have little pangs. And when those little pangs come up, it's making me aware of, I still have some little doubts about income, a scarcity mentality.
Right.
I still have a little bit of it.
Right.
Because I never really felt like I'm going, ooh. But I didn't let that deter me. And I do it at the beginning of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as stuff comes in, boom. And So I did it again this month. Now, here's the thing. So many opportunities to make money happened between the first time and now, but there's something in there that says, in many of these readings, something in there. I'm talking about no matter what of the New Thought authors you read about tithing, whether it's Catherine Ponder, Florence Scovel Shinn, Charles Fillmore, Emmett Fox, and many others. And it's because it's a principle. Because I'm really putting my faith in God as my source.
Yes.
And my income is just a representation of my own mental equivalent of having that faith.
Right.
One of the things they says is you'll either notice that the money that's coming in will go farther, or you'll end up having more where it doesn't even make sense.
Right.
So I paid all my bills, the mortgage, everything. And normally about this time, and I even overpaid on a credit card by accident, $300. So, and I went, oh, okay, well, that's just going to end up credited to the next month. I'm not going to sweat it. But I paid all those things. And normally my bank balance, my checking balance, is at a certain place at this time. After doing this on a regular basis, it was three. Now I tithe 10%, folks. And this month, I'm going, how the heck is it 3,000 above the normal? And I go, oh, mortgage maybe didn't go through yet. Or, oh, that bill. And I go, no, we're going to look. I look. All those payments went through. I don't know how this stuff works. I don't care to know how it works.
Right.
All I know is it's working.
Mm.
And I've never really, I mean, I've always, like I said, throughout 37 years of donating regularly, but not fully systematically tithing, all my needs have always been met. But now, over the past of 2 months, really committing to it. And it's fun because I just got some more money coming. I go, ooh, that means I could send, like right. I said, I could send $12. Mm-hmm. And you start really getting in the flow of, yes. You know, the word affluence, which means in the flow.
Right, right.
And like you're saying, Ed, you know, we got to circulate. When we hang on, it's because of a scarcity mentality. And that's another thing all these authors say. When I'm hanging on to it, there's going to be a rainy day. And it's going to be money necessary for something undesirable.
Right.
But as long as I keep it flowing, I don't have to have or expect, which become a premonition because I'm expecting it in my life. And Dugan, my mentor years ago, helped me with the rainy day idea. I've lost the rainy day idea many years ago of like saving for a rainy day because of Mike Dugan. Cause I was young and I didn't have, you know, family to support me. And I was, you know, making my own money, which wasn't much, I thought. And I was like going, well, Mike, I'm not spending. He goes, all your needs are being met. Because I thought I wasn't doing well because I didn't have a savings growing.
Right.
And I go, yeah, but I'm not saving for a rainy day. And he said, why are you planning for a rainy day?
Mm.
He goes, forget that. You do not have to save because that's just, you're just setting yourself up and you're really affirming with a lot of feeling and even on the material plane for disaster.
Right.
So I was like, I don't want that. So I don't do this because a lot of guys, aren't you saving for rainy day? I don't have a good, you could save for a rainy day. I don't put in my 2 cents, but I go, nope. And I've always had more than enough.
Yeah, that's important to not throw in our 2 cents when we're, you know, firming up our own faith and experiencing the joy of it.
I have to share that once I gave a talk to Church of Religious Science, and it was pouring rain, and I was asking them, what are the old sayings you heard about money? And they were saying money is the root of all evil and all that stuff. And I said, well, how about save for a rainy day? And they went, yeah. I said, well, it's raining. Let's go shopping.
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Yes.
Dude, that these are, man, I'm so, this show is such a blessing to be able to hear these things affirmed every week. I'm listening just as much as anyone watching or listening. Daryl and I are listening. I'm sure Chelly and Indy are listening, and we gain. We did a talk recently, and I said to Stephen Tom Thor, because I was high as a kite. I think it was the same one that Merrill Lee was talking about, but I was in like a stupor because I realized all we have to do is talk about these principles, and they come to life, and they start teaching us. That's the amazing thing. There's nothing else required. Get one of these books. Do your morning routine. Like, make it a part of your day to interact, because these are living teachings, and the teachers themselves will start to come through the teachings. You'll start meeting other people, and the more I start opening my eyes with a state of joyful expectancy, which is the definition of the faith that we're talking about here, the more it just, I mean, because I was just thinking when Daryl was talking, I was thinking, well, I haven't been doing the 10%, and then that started to kind of like, this old worry voice started to come to me. But then I said, well, I can do whatever I want right now. It doesn't matter what I've done before this moment. If that sounds like a good idea, I have a phone. I can start tithing 10% immediately as soon as this call. Yeah. I could do it while we're on the show. So that's the importance of constantly like having a relationship with our consciousness that allows us through meditation and inspired reading, opening up to new ideas to realize and it's not always easy when the old junk starts coming up and it wants to be released. It kind of wants to hold on. I was telling my buddy about the Bear Hugs Kettle reading that Emmett Fox has. When old pains and stuff starts to come up or something new triggers it, we're like a bear coming out of the woods and we wrap our hands around this pot thinking that there's like, the story is that there's a bear comes out of the woods and there's like some miners or something, right?
No, but the pot is making noise and it's clanking, so the bear attacks it.
Oh, I thought it was trying to
more,
eat.
Okay, but the more it burns him, the harder he squeezes it, because that's his defense mechanism of letting it go.
I always thought it was the dummiest coming out. He's like, I'm going to eat, like, what's his name?
Yogi Bear?
Yogi Bear. He's like, I'm going to eat what's in that pot. And then he starts burning him, and that's kind of how it is with me, with like, some old thing that doesn't really feel good pulls me in. I'm going to eat out of that pot. And then I get stuck in something I don't want to be in, and I hug it tighter. That's what kind of happened in the middle of the night last night. I had to, all right, I'm hugging the kettle. Let go of the kettle. Let go of the kettle. New thoughts, new ideas, new inspired thoughts, new life coming through me. And as soon as I shifted, it literally is like waking out of a soul sleep, like Florence Scovel Shinn says, and she says some other things.
Well, you know what? It's good because people may not realize that when you see that little, Indy and I were talking about YouTube, when you see that little title on one of those little videos and you know it's not going to be something positive.
Right.
But you click on it anyway. Well, then prepare yourself. And I'm only saying this because I'm guilty of this. Prepare yourself because your brain is going to be hugging a kettle of CRAP, because the ideas that come with that video, that's the thing. They get inside our brains.
Yeah.
And now I was thinking about this morning. I'm being now influenced by some outside idea that feels bad, that makes me think about concerns I didn't realize I had. Right. I wasn't even, and they're not even in my realm of experience, my real legitimate in my home, in my neighborhood, but now it's my reality. I'm tuned into it. So that's how potent these are. I just want to read one thing you were saying. Okay, go ahead, hit that.
I also wanted to mention, though, before you move on from that, you can actually tell YouTube not to give you those videos. So, but also, that's another, like, a spiritual thing, too. You can ask to not be inundated with these
things. Right. You know? Yeah, right.
Yeah, I used to try that when I wanted to quit smoking. It's not going to work yet. I don't think I'm ready to not have them send those yet.
Yeah, same. Happened to me too.
That's like me when I get tired. It's like, and I go to check my Yahoo email, and it's like, oh, I won't feel bad if I go scroll down all these terrible news stories, and then I'm like, but I had to read this because
read it.
We got this in our funniest thing PO box, which is PO box 1312, Culver City, California 90232. Our good friend Kirky out in Germany sent this. This one came to Daryl. It says, whenever you and I use our imagination unwittingly, We are asleep.
That's what we're talking about doing here.
That's exactly
right. When we, as soon as we pick up something from an influencer, first of all, I am turning over my consciousness to somebody else, yeah. Number one. And then secondly, I'm now going to start just the nature of the beast. My imagination now, once it gets primed going in a certain direction,
yeah.
It's going to start now thinking
right.
What these thoughts that I saw put right. in my brain, and now I'm asleep. I'm right. like hypnotized. I'm under hypnosis.
Right. Yeah, and what a lot of people don't know, and the game changer in a lot of like what Unity and metaphysical teachings is, that beast is a magnificent, wonderful, powerful, creative tool that we can use when yeah. we realize that we can program it to imagine what we want it to.
Yes.
We have to awake to God's law and his promises. The thing to do is to become aware of what we are imagining and put no limit to the power of imagining. Do not put any limit to God's power. Let me just read this
yeah,
one.
Read that one. And
another
I'll
one from
this.
Kirky came in the mailbox. It says, I want to be a child again.
That's when you had that unique mustache.
Yes. So well, there's always a funny picture with every card. And it's from Alan Cohen. He says, while many people attribute the result of their efforts to luck, fate, karma, astrological influences, and a gamut of external sources, experience is determined more by consciousness than by any other factor.
Oh, brilliant. Wow.
Thank you, Kirky. All right, what do you got?
Well, this is from Catherine Ponder. And since, I mean, you never know what, we had one plan. I mean, this happens every episode. We think we're going to be reading certain things, and then we start talking, and you know, God takes over and we're inspired.
Shelley strolls through the door. Shelley our minds are blown. Our hearts are open. What are we going to do?
So this one really wasn't so much on the list, but it goes perfect to these ideas that are important. And this is from Dynamic Laws of Prosperity by Catherine Ponder. I highly recommend it. I shared it once before. It's a little bigger than the average book I enjoy, but it's one of those ones, folks, that you could make this a morning reader by just flipping anywhere in here and reading a paragraph. And you will go, wow, that's just what I needed. So this is exactly what we're talking about, Ed. And Ed and I practice this method. So when I saw this a couple of days ago, I was like, ooh, I got to remember this. Woe unto them that write about their troubles. It was Isaiah who advised us, woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees and to the writers that write perverseness. Now, unrighteous decrees, these words like perverseness kind of give us the willies when we read Bible verses, but it simply means unrighteous decrees is could be complaint, worry, you know?
Right.
Same thing with and the writers of perverseness, anything that's the antithesis to God's will, which is love, happiness, right?
Yeah.
Prosperity, health.
Right. Yeah, and unrighteousness,
joy.
Like we've talked about before, it can be not right use of our decrees.
Yes.
Unrighteous use, you know, it's like not right use of whatever they're describing here.
So, what is she saying? Here it is. This surely applies to one's financial affairs. A man I know was having business difficulties. At the start, they weren't too urgent. And with a change of attitude, could doubtless have been solved easily.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ed just read on Kirk's card. Once we change our mind, life has no choice but to recluster itself
yes.
according to our consciousness.
Yes.
But not realizing this, in his worried state of mind, this man began writing about his difficulties in detail to a number of his friends. As he magnified the difficulty in his mind, and in the minds of others, it literally multiplied in his affairs. And this goes for texting. Guess what happened to me today, man?
Yes.
Phone calls. You're not going to believe it, Ed.
Yeah.
We're doing this. After he began to apply prosperous thinking to the situation, it cleared up in several months. He found it necessary to stop talking about his troubles to others and to stop putting anything negative in writing. When he started reversing the process and secretly writing how he wished his business affairs to be, his difficulties began to diminish for the first time in months.
Yes.
In like manner, It is good in the face of adverse appearances to secretly write out each day how you wish your affairs might be, in contrast to how they appear or how you imagine them to be going.
Yes.
I like to add that because that's most of my problems.
Yeah, and it's important that we keep remembering that our imagination is a tool.
Yes.
It has a very real influence and effect on our lives.
Not only does that help your mind. Now, this we're talking about writing out how we would like the situation to go instead of complaining about how it is and how we're imagining negatively it's going to turn out for the worse.
Right.
So not only does that help your mind to accept the improvement you desire, but it is as though your written out desire goes out into the ethers and is subconsciously tuned in, and everyone concerned begins to cooperate and help. Again, it may seem a mystical method, but if it produces practical, helpful results for you, why not dare to be a modern mystic?
Yes.
And you know, some people think it's silly, Daryl and his morning routine. I mean, I've actually heard this from people secondhand. They go, oh yeah, someone will share how I do a morning routine,
right,
and they start doing it, and then they'll get backlash, like, oh yeah, Daryl and his morning routine, ha ha ha.
Yeah, like you invented it, first of all.
Yeah, it's not my, yes.
Like it's not being taught everywhere that where you're taught where these people are, right?
Yeah, and then they're denouncing it. And Ed and I find ourselves often in groups of people who say the antithesis of all the positive ways we have discovered that living faithfully, the results, you know, that faith always brings that are always for the better.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they're talking and we're sitting in a group, even if we're not ourselves putting any input, it's easy all of a sudden to have your head cave in and feel frustrated and bad. And
yeah, your vibration go,
and we forget who we are. And, you know, a friend of ours who's been on the show, Johnny Franzese, called.
Yes.
And was telling us he was just experiencing that yesterday.
Right.
And I don't have that particular book in here. It's out there, but I could paraphrase it. And I said, oh my God, you guys, you're not going to believe what I just read.
Yes.
And it was a Bible verse from Romans. And it was something to the effect of, so what if they don't believe?
Yes.
Is that going to take away the power of God in your life? And I went, holy cow. And it really means, so what? Let them, like, I don't, the problem is we get frustrated because we get fearful. Somehow, maybe they're right. You know, the naysayers are right and we're wrong, or somehow that line of believing is going to ruin our future of the world. And no, just, you know, let them. So what if, and it actually says that, Paul wrote, so what if they don't believe? So what? And so if people think what you're doing is silly, A, you know, don't lead with the chin, you know, like Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine.
Right.
You know, you'll know when it's right to share these ideas. You'll sense it. You'll have a lively conversation with someone and you'll know, you know, it'll be obviously intuitive to share it. And they're probably going to respond with, I do a morning routine too.
Yeah.
But we only really get into trouble when we lead with the chin with our spiritual ideas, thinking somehow I'm going to help this person. Well, obviously,
right,
they might not be the one who thinks they need the help.
Yeah, totally, totally. When I told you I was meditating the other day, and I was reading Emmett Fox saying the best way to not succeed at anything, and the crux of it was just to think about yourself, no matter, just keep rehashing your old problems.
Yes.
And so at that moment, I started blessing. I was thinking about Indy succeeding in this Chobo and Tori, and I was thinking about that. But I started thinking about Daryl and his wife and the house and the joy. And then my mind slipped into this different state, like an alpha state, whatever, different wavelength. And I heard the phrase, it is the will of life to express itself.
Yes.
And I was in a bunch of meetings yesterday where I could have led with the chin and kind of either cursed it or ran away or whatever. And I Instead, I just kept saying, God's here. God will express the way God wants to. And just miracle after miracle happened that, I mean, when I woke up in the middle of the night, I still had to come down from being in that environment. But a lot of miracles happened within those environments yesterday. And what helped me, we got to go to the break and bring Chelly in. But I just want to say, last night when I was unhooking, because a lot of the, it can be tricky business when these old beliefs start to reassert themselves, the old paradigms from within my own gut. It can become very like a dream that feels like it's very real, right? So, and I've always heard, I always liked the idea of I cast the burden on the Lord, right?
Yes.
But what I switched it to that helped me last night is I cast the light of the Christ within upon all of these burdens. I cast the light onto the burdens, and it was like, I mean, I don't like to go, oh, I invented something new. But in that moment, what it helped me to feel was the Christ within me is dissolving something that's not even real.
I thought the same thing when you were saying it. It's like disintegrating them.
So I was casting this beautiful light from within myself and dissolving these things that I was generating, dissolving those burdens, casting the light of the Christ within upon all these burdens that I seem to be having. And they, and now here I am with Daryl and Chelly and Indy, and I'm so glad that I just, because in the past, there was a time where those things ruled me, man, and they would keep me in the house. They would keep me hiding out from my good. And so it's really important to learn how to let these things go. Should we breathe together and then bring in Chelly?
Our three breaths. Oh, and you forgot to thank someone special who's not here.
Yes, he actually built the studio that was on Unity Online Radio, which we were on for many years, and he is still with us. He uploads our audio onto any podcast app. If you're on YouTube, you can get it. You can listen in your car, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
He even helped you solve a riddle this last week.
What was it?
You were trying to figure out which producer said what, and he sent it to you.
Oh, it was the we were trying to find out the name of someone's show, right? Anna Schaus's show. Anna Schaus's show on Unity Online Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were friends.
Yeah, what was the show?
I'll have to bring that
recovery.
Up.
Recovery.
Oh. What was it? Something recovery.
Spiritual recovery.
But it doesn't matter because thanks to this man, we're the only, I think we might be the only remaining show from Unity Online Radio because they just pulled the station down so fast. He saved this show. He made it so we don't have to. We didn't
start
have
a
to
whole new channel.
Start a whole new show. So we owe this guy a lot of gratitude. We don't even owe it to him. It's just natural. We love him and we appreciate him. His name's Jeff Comfort, and each week
he takes us
right into the comfort zone.
And with that, we have three breaths.
See, when this changes the world from appearing to be a flat world to becoming a round world. When we feel that spirit come back through us and we wake up out of that soul sleep and we see Chelly, we go, oh my God, we love Chelly, we love life. We can say this to ourselves. Let's take a deep breath. Yes, I can suddenly. Yes, I can.
Yes, I can suddenly. Yes, I can.
Yes, I can suddenly. Yes, I can. Coming up next, cheerful Chelly Campbell prospers our thinking today with the reading Lavish and Unlimited Supply and all of the amazing energy she brings to the table. So thank you for listening to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed from Chobo Studios.
We now return to the funniest thing. Here are your hosts, Daryl and Ed, the best looking guys on the radio.
All right, welcome back. Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed. We have an amazing person, amazing teacher, amazing spirit. Her name is Chelly Campbell. She is the author of this book, The Wealthy Spirit, as well as many others. She has a she has at least two others anyway. She has a website, chelly.com, C-H-E-L-L-I-E.com. There's a lot of great offerings. I'm already looking to join us for cheese and crackers and cash Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Pacific. Click here for the broadcast. How are you, Chelly?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me today. This is so fun.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. What is it? Oh. What are you pointing at?
What happened?
Daryl found lipstick on his Chobo
you
mug.
You left lipstick.
Uh-oh. Was it me?
No, this was Indy.
Oh, sorry, my guys. God.
That was me.
So, thank you all, by the way, for copies of The Wealthy Spirit.
You're so welcome. It's my pleasure.
We love daily readers. That's what I was going to say. And to have one on prosperity specifically is like the perfect thing for our daily read.
It's a great way to kick off your day.
Yeah, and we always encourage our listeners and viewers to have a daily practice. So this is the perfect addition, The Wealthy Spirit.
Let me just read this to kick that off, because it's perfect that your book just happened to be a daily reader.
Uh-huh. And this,
you know, because we always talk about how important it is how you start your day. And I can't even imagine not doing my morning routine. It's become such a practice that makes me feel good, that my body and mind naturally feel compelled to do it.
Yeah.
So this is from a book called A New Day, which is 365 Meditations for Personal and Spiritual Growth. It's another, one day at a time reader. And I just want the listeners to let this sink in. And here we go. It says, my attitude when I awaken can shape and color my entire day. And this is like a universal principle, folks. You can go back all the way to some of the Greek philosophers. Say this, how you start your day dictates how you can expect your day to go. If I give power to petty concerns and fears, I am bound to struggle through one self-generated crisis after another. But if I spend the first moments of the morning in meditation, assuring myself that God's power is within me and that God's grace surrounds me at all times and all places, then it is likely that my day will be carefree and bountiful. It is possible that I will be diverted. Unforeseen pressures and events may threaten my serenity, but even then I will have a choice. I could return to the positive realizations I had earlier. At such times, indeed, at any time, it is comforting to reaffirm this most precious truth. I am a child of God, and God's protection is with me wherever I am, wherever I go. As a child of God, I am free to enjoy my life and all the good within it. I am free to be positive and enthusiastic, unrestrained by apprehension about any individual or situation. I am free to walk the path of protection and peace and to know that my Father is with me always.
Now, I have to say something about this.
Yes.
Because we have the negative mind and we have the positive mind. And when you've spent a lot of time in the negative mind, getting to the positive time is a little work. My mom taught us this. My mom taught us to play the glad game. We'd come home from school all bitter and twisted over not getting the part we wanted in the school play, or the boy we liked didn't invite us to the prom, and she'd go, oh, poor thing, for about 2 seconds. And then she'd say, well, let's play the glad game. Well, we didn't want to play the glad game right then. We wanted to roll in our misery and have old poor thing for a lot. But she wouldn't let us do it. She'd say, well, okay, what's still good in your life? Okay, well, I did get a part in the play, and not everybody got a part, so I'm ahead of the game there. I got an A on the history final. Susie's still my best friend, and we're going to the movie. And then you just turned your head around. Mm-hmm. You turned your emotional body around. Suddenly, everything is good again because it's your focus, and that was so important to me. I didn't even know it then. But I knew it as I grew in these kinds of principles.
Yeah.
To say, God, I got that back then.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize the gift I was getting. Because what I want everybody listening to know is it doesn't mean the angry, dysfunctional, complaining mind goes away forever. You have 60,000 thoughts every day. Some of them are going to be messy. So it's like Tuesday we had a big outage on Facebook. And Facebook is like my Facebook group is my business and my making money. And when I couldn't get on, I went, oh, somebody's hacked my account. I don't have my account anymore.
Right.
I'm going to have to kill myself.
Yeah. Yep.
That's where I go. That's immediately, especially about things related to tech. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I have negative affirmations. I'm working on it. But I suck at tech. Not a good affirmation.
No.
Right.
So, but I get rid of it quicker. Okay.
Yes.
I just go, no, Chelly, just relax. Let's look around and see what's going on. Oh, it's a worldwide thing. 500,000 people were thrown off Facebook. It's not you.
Yeah.
But even if it is some disaster, this is one of the benefits of being older is that you go, yeah, but I've been through worse.
Yeah.
Because you be through some disasters in your life, then when the little stuff happens, you just go, I call them itty-bitty shitties.
Yeah. That's amazing.
This is funny. I just had to do that. My wife and I, it was getting close one more month, and our phones are paid off so we can upgrade to the new phones.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me is like, I'm fine with my new phone. I go, Daryl, you're just afraid of change. So we go down because she's excited. So we go down and the guy helping us, and I'm trying not to be judgmental, the people working at the facility. Mm-hmm. It was right next to Ono Chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And the Verizon.
I ate there on Thursday.
So you put your name in, you wait around, and Lori showed up, and the young guy who helped us, you know, he's all tatted from head to toe. Not just like, you know, he doesn't just have the boxing rabbit on his bicep. I mean, he is like face everywhere.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But my mind goes.
Your favorite.
My favorite. So my mind goes, you know what? I bet he's going to be perfect at this. And he was. So
wait, I got stuffed out because that's a miracle. For what you say about tattoos, how did you? What was it that gave you that feeling? Just like because you're in tune with your intuition and you kind of.
Yeah, because I felt like this guy must be like a wizard to be that tatted up.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and be able to have that job.
Exactly.
Yes.
So great. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, we can, yeah. So what do you want to do? And he wasn't afraid. You know, some places go, oh, you're going to have to, I can't touch your phone. He took my phone, and he goes, boom, boom, boom. He goes, here, let me just get your face. Holds it up to my face. Gets it, okay, boom, boom, boom. You know, tells me what it's going to be. And he goes, oh, we looks like we can have these two phones. They look like they're here, so let me just plug them in, and we'll do it. And I said, well, can you just do the whole transfer here? And he said, unfortunately, you know, there is a charge if we do it. And me and my wife were just like, yeah, we'll have you guys do it. So it's all done, right?
Happy to pay for experience and expertise.
And I could already see because he's going, womp, 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 beep, 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 womp, 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 beep, beep, beep.
So, my whole purpose in making money is to be able to pay people to do stuff for
me. Yes. So I thought, it's nothing. And I'm getting excited. I go, yeah, we'll just get the cases here, the covers, boom, done. Well, he goes, oh, shoot. He goes, they're not in stock. They're going to have to send them to your house. I said, well, could they send them here? No, they got to go to your house. And so now there's getting caught like a stick stuck in the spokes. And that's where my mind starts to go, oh, no.
Uh-huh.
And it starts thinking all these terrible things.
Right.
Incompetence. Now I got to deal with this. I thought it was all going to be done here. But I said, okay, no problem. He said, yeah, it'll be at your house in 2 to 3 days. And then you can just bring it all here. And we'll still set it up for you. Well, that night I woke up thinking all those type of the other brains going, you weren't even paying attention when he was zipping through there. Are you sure this isn't going to be a lot more expensive?
Right.
You know, now you're probably going to be paying a ton more. How do you know this is the right plan? Oh, boy. So The next day I look, and because I'm having all this angst, I keep shooing it away. Mm-hmm. It says, your phone will be delivered on Friday. You know, UPS is telling me, sure. Verizon's yeah. telling me. But I look and it looks like only Lori's phone's in this batch. Where's mine? I'll wait till tomorrow, let it go. Thursday comes, still the same order. Then I go for my walk on Friday morning and a bleep comes up and goes, Friday, we took off the credit for your phone from the account. You know, so I'm going, wait, they're taking off phone credits? What does this mean? This means horrible things for me. And so I said, Daryl, you're not going to rush and deal with this. And then this, because I was on my hike and I thought I should go home. I should drive to Verizon and ask them, what does this mean? And I had this thought, how would you feel? Okay, that's fine. Well, besides that, if you didn't have that to think about, how would you feel? How are things? Uh-huh. And I don't know why that worked this time. I go, everything's great. So I get home and I eat. I go, I'm not going to look at any of this till I eat. But my mind's going, no, do it now. You're not that hungry. And I go, no, we're going to eat. Take care of eating first. I eat and I just said, let me just check my online on the computer, the bill and everything. So I finally check and I look closer because Lori said, I said, only your phone's coming. She goes, that's because I didn't have a worry about the phones. You had a worry. And I go, I said, you're right, because I worried that night. So anyway, I look a little careful. Both phones are in the same order, in the same box coming. So I go, okay, that's number one. That was ridiculous. Thank God I didn't act on that. And this is now after I ate, and I look online, and I look close at the plan with the new phones, with everything, because it takes a little bit to look, which adds more fear. But I get to the coming up bill with these newer phones that are an upgrade and everything else. It's $6 less per month than what we were paying with the old phones.
Yeah.
So it's a miracle. Yeah, just like you. I was like, oh, my God. I really got to see how the imagination, that other part of our mind, the negative part, jumps on, kicks the nice guy out of the driver's seat from my imagination. Yeah. He goes, yeah, and he starts stepping on the gas and grinding the gears.
Yes.
But I also got to see how if I do the things that have been recommended for centuries. Don't panic. God never panics.
Yes.
Eat first before diving into this. How would you feel if you didn't have this concern? And then look at it when you're eaten and you're calm and I had that peaceful state of mind. And it was like everything. I was like, holy cow. This is another lesson.
You also know in this particular situation, it's all going to work out, whether it happens the day you wanted it to happen or not.
Yeah.
If only one phone comes, you call them up and say, hey, I didn't get the other phone. They're going to give it to you.
Of course.
It's just we get that control issue.
Yes.
And we want it to be on our schedule. How many times does God work on your schedule? That's the thing.
Right.
Not always.
No.
So many times there's a lot of other stuff going on. And what I have discovered over this lifetime is that when bad things happen or slow me down or there's, you know, my ship is sinking in the hurricane, it's because the good thing that I want that God has intended for me isn't ready yet.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I got to wait. And I get so control oriented. I want it all and I want it now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you for the patience.
Well, you also remind me, how many good things have come unexpected to us, unexpectedly?
Incredible.
How many? Billions and billions. I mean, if I look at this, I was upset about this phone thing, but everything else in my life is just fine.
Yes. And we just get into the control issue. So 2019, before the pandemic, I have been teaching my workshop since 1990, so it's been a long time, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm on social media, but hardly. You know, I've collected friends and said, hi, how are you? And don't talk to them for 5 years. So I had to have a gallbladder surgery. You know, it was one of those things, you go to the emergency room hurting and this is not good. You got to have it out. So I have it out. And 2 days later, we had to evacuate the house for the Getty fire. Okay, pack up. I'm not supposed to be picking stuff up, but I'm packing up.
Well, we got to let our listeners know it may not be in California. Oh. There's big fires here on the hillsides, and Shelly lives near one of these highly flammable areas.
We got the emergency evacuation on our phone, you know, alert, get out now.
Wow.
But the fire between us and the fire was the Getty Museum. And we knew nothing was going to happen to the Getty Museum. They were not going to let anything happen to the Getty Museum.
Right.
So we felt okay, but we had to move out. So we moved out. So when we moved back in, this is like December, and it's Christmas holidays. And I said, I'm just not going to do anything else. I'm going to take time off. I'm going to lie around and rest and heal. And that's when I hear the messages. That's when God speaks, when the angels speak.
Yeah, that's right.
So I have been teaching my class. I used to do it in person, and then when the books came out, people wanted to take it from far away, and they couldn't. And it's an 8-week class. So I started doing it as a teleclass. So the message while I'm lying around is, get your class up on Zoom. And you know me in tech. So I'm crying big crocodile tears trying to learn it, but I learned it in January. And then I said, well, I have this friend Molly who does Facebook Live video training. And if you're doing Zoom, it's video. You got to do that. So I signed up for that in February. And in March, we were locked down. And all of my systems of earning a living, of going to networking groups and giving speeches, I can't do any of them, but I can do online.
And you were set up.
And I was set up already.
Yeah.
So what looked like a bad thing was a good thing for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Turned out great. But
thank
it was because I got the message.
You're like Noah's Ark, man. You got the message to build the ark.
You built it.
Then the storm came.
Yeah.
Right?
It was like I had a premonition about it, but I was tipped off by an insider.
And it's often like that. Daryl talks about it. We don't know why we get the nudge to do it until later.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, so often, how many times do we get the message? And that's why there's a advertiser named Paul Arden. He was one of the great Mad Men advertisers from the UK. And he said, don't be afraid of silly ideas.
Yeah.
That the ideas that we think are frivolous and silly or not now, we're not going to, those are the voice of God.
Right.
We should consider those. And most of the time, most people, and we do sometimes consider those the frivolous little silly voices. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't need to do that. You know, we'll dismiss it. The realization is that those are not the frivolous voices. The frivolous voice is the one that's saying, not now. That's a silly idea.
Yeah.
Don't act on that.
Or you'll get laughed at if you do that.
But
we need more laughing, and we need more silliness.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of the clown chakra?
No, but I like this.
It's so fun. I found this online somewhere, and I think his name is John Maxwell. But he wrote a whole thing about the clown chakra. And he says, when you feel bad and you feel depressed and nothing is going right, is because your clown chakra is closed.
Yeah.
And all the cells of your body will be displaying a sad face.
Wow.
So you got to open the clown chakra, start laughing and joking again, and then it will be open.
Yeah.
I love this.
That's
he said all the problems in life are coming from too much seriousness.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes. Yeah, we always say seriousness is just fear pretending to be an adult.
Yeah.
Well, yes. And when I went into finance, I mean, you know, after singing and dancing for a living and then finding my way to finance, which is I just, you know, I kept getting promoted at this typing job because that's what you did in between acting jobs. And they said, well, you're going to be the office manager now. And I said, but that involves finance. I don't know anything about that. They said, we'll teach you. You'll learn it. When I'm about to take a risk, I consider the downside. If it's not death, I do it.
Yes, okay? I love that. If it's not death, I do it.
That's right. So I go, okay, they can teach me this stuff. They don't know I slept through math class in school, you know,
because
it was so boring. Farmer John has 6 bushels of wheat and he sells them at 39 cents. You know, really, who's Farmer John and what's a bushel and who cares?
Bushel and a peck.
But this was money. This company was an executive search firm, and they were making placements and getting people jobs and getting paid big bucks for it. So I'm seeing how the money works and how the flow works. Well, we can save money on this, and you guys could do this and make more money. So I just got inventive about it all, and they loved me, and I loved it.
I
started saying no to acting jobs. And I went, what am I doing? I've always thought of myself as an actor. And my girlfriend tipped me off. She said, okay, what is it you enjoyed about acting? I said, well, I like the applause. I like to be in front of people. I like to get acknowledgement. I like the money. I like going to work and working with great people. She goes, well, what do you like about this, you know, office manager job? Oh, well, I like the applause and the acknowledgement they give me all the time. I get to go to work every day. It's a great team of people. She goes, same list.
Yeah.
And I went, oh. And I wrote my agent a letter and said, thank you for all past services. I am done. And I was complete. I never, ever went back.
Wow.
But then when I owned a bookkeeping service and I'm getting people, you know, help with their money, I see there's big problems and issues because financial literacy isn't taught in our school system.
That's true.
So I started helping people and coaching them. And 3 people in the same week who didn't know each other said, you should teach this. And I thought, well, okay, maybe I could do that. I mean, I know I can get up in front of people. And I've taken a bunch of workshops that have been helpful to me, and I don't see anybody teaching money. So, okay, I'll do it. And then it's just that was like answered the question of what I was doing my whole life, singing and dancing and acting, and then being in finance in an office. My two parts didn't seem to go together. But when I started coaching about that subject, I said, oh, my whole life has been training me to do this.
Wow.
Because what nobody is doing out there, if some CPA says he's going to give a speech on taxes, are you going?
No, it sounds hard. And then even that's, I just want to say this to your credit. This is the thing where we get this twisted misconception. People think if the presentation is boring and intellectual, then it must be legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
If,
right.
If the teaching brings laughter, enthusiasm, and it's interesting, it's probably not real. It's probably just frivolous.
Oh, it's self-help.
Or it's frivolous. It can't really help me do finances. But we've learned and we agree, there needs to be more people like you teaching it, because the people who need help with finances, they are not going to learn. I could never learn from the drab intellectual academic teacher teaching finance.
No.
It's the one that makes it click in my head. Like Mike Dugan was my mentor, and he made me understand finances in a way that was exciting and blew my mind and didn't seem that scary. So I was able to, you know, take risks and do things that I could have never done before if I went to a class on how to invest money or how to budget. And I do all those things with joy and a real understanding than just the other way. That's why we... And Ed brings this up about, what's the guy's name? Carl Rogers. That what happens is the wrong people end up being the teachers.
Yes. Yes. And it's so good in our society right now, in our world, that we have the internet and we have all of these ways of getting to people. This show, it's just fabulous. And so that allows people with a different creative bent
and a different way of doing things to do what they do. So, and then people started telling me I should write a book. And I went, no, I read books. They're hard. I can't write a book. But after 8 years of hearing that and 8 years of seeing people double their incomes in 8 weeks or get the job they always wanted or buy the house in Carmel, yeah, or, you know, all of those kinds of things, yes, I said, I have some things that really work and I should share them.
Yes.
So that's when I started writing The Wealthy Spirit.
You know what I learned, Shelley, that I never knew the difference. You know, people hear writer, author, and I never knew are they synonymous? But actually, author means an authority on the subject.
Oh, I didn't know
so
that.
So you're actually an author. Uh-huh. A writer is someone who writes miscellaneous things, mm-hmm, not necessarily
right,
an authority on a specific subject. Yes.
Well, I just wanted to do teaching people money through joy. Like one time a guy came to my class and he was all buttoned down in a suit, you know, and he looked very stern and he had inherited a lot of money and had a lot of stocks and bonds and all of that stuff, which I don't teach about that. If you don't have any money, you can't buy any of that.
Right.
So he comes to my class and everybody else, I say, dress casually, you know, their jeans and T-shirts and stuff. Yeah. And he's in a suit and a tie. And so third class, I'm talking about budgeting. And I say, budget stands for baby, you deserve getting everything.
Yeah.
Maybe not all today. We've been doing it in stages.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Wait, can you say that one more time? I don't want, because there's probably someone's driving now and they just heard that and they need to hear that again. What is the acronym of budget?
Baby, you deserve getting everything.
I love that.
Yeah. So we're working on that and we come to him and I'm giving everybody special assignments. And I looked at him and I said, you have money. That is not your issue. But where are you having fun? I don't see any fun. I say, come dress casually. You're in a suit and tie. What are you doing? I said, this is what I want. Your special homework is to go have fun. I want you to take your wife out on the town. I want you to go maybe on a weekend vacation. I want a list of everything you did that was fun next week. And as I'm talking, he's like blushing and he's smiling. He looked like a little kid at Christmas. He comes back in the next week. He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt and flip-flops.
Wow.
He totally changed. Because you could have all the money in the world, but if you're not using it to have joy, what are you doing? And I was...
Yes.
You know, when the pandemic happened and they said, oh, you got to get a vaccine, you know, when they finally had a vaccine and they said, you've got to stay home, especially if you're the elderly, you know, people over 70. And I went, I was 72 at the time and I went, I'm the elderly? I never thought of myself like
you're
that.
You're not
I
the elderly.
No.
I'm the elderly.
I'm with Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench. She wrote a wonderful biography. It was like her second biography, and it's called And Furthermore. She wrote it when she was 79.
Wow.
And she said, people are always asking me if I'm going to retire. She said, no, people retire to do what they love. I'm doing what I love now.
Yes.
And that's how I feel about it. I'm now 75, and people are saying, shouldn't you be retired? And I said, retire from what? From fun? I love what I do. I love sitting here talking with you guys. I love sharing. I love when I say something to people, and they go, you mean I can do that?
Yes.
And they go live a better life?
Uh-huh.
It's like it happened to me.
Yes, yes.
It's a multiplication of your joy. What you're doing is multiplying people's joy because they listen to you. They get a new idea. They get a better idea of how they can live life more fully, happier, richer. And you might not see it because you're on the radio or you're on a podcast, but they'll write you letters. You get them, don't you?
Yes.
Definitely. See?
Well, and also it benefits us as the sharers because it's going through us.
Yes.
And I'll hear things on an episode that change my mind for the better.
Absolutely. Every time I show up, I've been listening to you guys. I go, oh, yeah, why don't you do that?
Yeah.
You know, it's always constant learning, lifelong learner. That's what I think. I think the earth, we're in the earth school.
Yeah, definitely.
There's plenty of real estate out there. My dad was an aerospace scientist, so I've always been looking outward at the moon, always doing science fiction. I was so happy when Star Trek came. It was the first good science fiction we had. You know, otherwise it was Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, you know. All that silly stuff. So I'm always looking beyond, you know, and saying, well, there's lots of real estate out there. Why are 8 billion of us on this little blue dot? If you look up little blue dot, it shows a picture from the Voyager space camera, like 6 billion miles away. And Earth is just this little blue dot in this huge vastness. So if we were supposed to figure this out alone, we'd be on our own individual little planets with books and tapes.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to do it together. We're all together. We are one.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. Yeah, and one joyful spirit can really have a ripple effect on so many more, eh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
When we get lit up for what we're actually here to do. That's important.
Yeah, this show is probably exciting. This episode is probably exciting and motivating someone right now to move forward with an idea that they thought was silly but has been persistent.
Yeah.
And now they're going to go, wait a minute, Chelly can do it.
Right.
Or if Daryl and Ed can do it.
Well, it's like, is the downside death? No.
No. Right. Then go for it.
Yeah. What's the downside? Like somebody will look at you and say, well, that was stupid or that was dumb. Those are not your people.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's two kinds of people. Your people, not your people.
Right.
There's dolphins, there's sharks, and then there's tuna. So
Tell everyone why you call your people your dolphins.
Well, explain all three groups.
Yes. The explanation is this. I worked for a really outrageous producer who screamed and yelled a lot. And I read a book after that, Swim with the Sharks Without Getting Eaten Alive, because everybody called him a shark. And I went, yeah. But by the end of the book, I went, but why even swim with sharks? I don't have to keep working for him. Why don't I find some dolphins?
Yes.
Dolphins are beautiful. Yes. They jump out of the water. They look gorgeous. They swim in schools. They've been protecting other fish.
Yes.
And, you know, they play jokes on other fish even. They're really fun.
Yeah, and I've looked into the eyes of both dolphins and a great white shark while surfing.
Yeah.
And a shark is just a giant fish. It's like a flat eye.
Yeah.
It's just like an eating machine. I mean, it's a very graceful, beautiful thing, but
yes.
When you look into the eyes of a dolphin, it
there's
is more like a monkey.
Yeah,
they're intelligent.
In
their mouth is like, I never knew there was like a, it's a monkey. It's smile, like that
it's
big beak.
It's like
it smiles.
Yes.
100%. It's like a total different, it's just like, you know, the Hawaiian said that it's, they're like the most similar, I think Aboriginal Australians and Hawaiians said like it's the most similar consciousness to our humans.
Yes.
Hawaiians say it's like the, they're here to remind us of what our purpose is on the earth.
Well, Greeks called them the men from, that they were the reincarnation of the men from Atlantis.
Yeah, so dolphins are just so fabulous. I just thought, well, I'm just going to identify sharks. And these are the smooth talkers, the con men, the people who are trying to take your stuff, basically. So I just go, it's not their fault. Sharks are eating machines. They see the whole world as food.
Right.
Yeah.
And tuna are the food.
Right.
They're the one that fall for the shyster.
Yeah.
They're the one that whine and moan and complain about why all this bad stuff happens to them. It's because they're thinking that.
Yes.
And then, you know, the other kind of tuna is the whiner and complainer. Everything is somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the most powerless position there is.
Yeah.
So your life will totally change if you just start selecting out dolphins, because they've done studies on happiness. And it's not just the people you hang out with. That's the first degree. And that's worth like 16% of your happiness is who you're hanging out with. But then they go further to who they're hanging out with.
Oh, yeah.
Like their spouse or their best friend or who they work with. And that's 15%. And then third degree is another 6%. Those people who know those people who know those people. And when you surround yourself, it's like we talked earlier about this. I did the great unfriending of 2016, where I just wiped out all of the people from my social media list who were angry and complaining and mean and nasty and didn't want to see the light as I saw it. You know, that's all I can do is gather my people.
Yeah.
And you're always going to get brickbats from some people. I looked up Mother Teresa. I thought, well, she's perfect. Everybody has to love her. Christopher Hitchens wrote a whole book on how evil and bad Mother Teresa was.
I went down that hole, too. Yeah.
I'm sorry. If she can't get 100%, why am I trying to
get 100%? Yes.
I just give myself permission now that people cannot like me, and it's fine. Any best-selling book, look at all of the good reviews, but there's going to be some bad ones.
Oh, yeah.
I have some fabulous. I have 175 reviews of The Wealthy Spirit on Amazon, and 172 of them are good, and three are, she is a troll. A troll? Really? What does she mean by that? I'm a troll. I don't live under a bridge. Right. Last I looked. But, you know, there's always going to be somebody that hates your stuff. Okay. Yeah.
They hate themselves.
Well, you know what? They're just in a different stage of development. That's how I hold it.
Yep. That's it.
But I don't want to be with them.
No. And we don't have to try to win them over.
No, we don't have to change their mind. We don't have to make them better. We don't have to show them the light. I just want to be the light and have people who want the light to come.
Yeah.
That's it. I had a psychotherapist say that to me once. He says, Shelly, your job is not to work so hard to get people. Your job is to just glow purple, and people who like purple are going to show up.
Wow.
I'm going to glow purple.
Isn't that good?
Yeah. You said it before in the green room that if I'm not being myself and letting myself glow purple, then I'm attracting people who don't like a buttoned up version. They don't like the real me because they like this fake version of me.
Yeah. And that's not me.
Until I start glowing. Yeah.
What kind of love is that? And it's worthless to you.
Yeah. And no one else knows what we know. No one else cares so deeply about what we care. I mean, until I let it out of the box and then I find those other, but there's like this important part of me just being, this is why I love these teachings. It's like we're each so powerfully unique and our imaginations can write. I mean, we're God coming to Earth just as much as any other being that has ever come to this planet. And we have the ability to rewrite everything we want to rewrite.
Do you know Mike Dooley and Notes from the Universe? I'm in his Infinite Possibilities group. It's a Facebook group. And he says, everything is you and more you. It's all you.
Yeah. And I like what you're saying because I used to make the mistake and used to. It's just like something I'm still getting. It's trying to argue with people who think they know who I am would kill me, man. Like that was more short-circuiting for me than anything else. Like I know someone else to say something. And I think, you know, I got this bad habit in the past of just arguing because I somehow just getting caught, pulled into someone else saying they knew who I was. And now, like, the other day I had to run a meeting. I love these meetings. Part of my job. I mean, I actually enjoy this process. I work with special education. And so I run this meeting where every year we meet and we redefine the program, how they've done, where they're going to go. So I look at it. It kills me when I look at it as data, this, I'm an external process. But I've been doing it a long time. I love it when I'm like, I'm the one now who has the microphone. I'm the lead singer in the band.
Yes.
I can say whatever I want. And if I say it with conviction and love and authority, like you said, they get on board. So I got to a meeting. The teacher that was supposed to be there was sick. This other teacher that I had this very interesting run-in with last year showed up. And I was flying high, but something shifted me out of my zone right before the meeting started. This doubt started coming in. And then it starts, and that teacher's there. I wasn't ready for this. And then the parent has this issue with something that this parent and I've been rehabilitating the relationship with this parent. When I met her, she was like a smoking gun of like, they didn't give me this. They didn't give me that. And I knew that they had a trouble. She was kind of struggling with her boys at home. And so I knew this was just, I've seen it enough. So I just made every time I saw her, no matter what she said, I would like hug her, tell her I appreciate her. I become like an uncle for her son.
Yes.
So all this starts. She brings this up at this meeting. This is the second year I've had this meeting. She brings it up. The teacher from last year who I had had an interesting experience with, which was interesting because we were getting along really well. And I think we both stumbled into a dark place in our consciousness at the same moment, and it hit. It just turned into this very awkward situation for both of us, but behind it was this natural connection. But I saw her, oh my God, I'm in the wrong state of mind for all of this, but I just said, you know what? Throw it all out the window. And I was telling Daryl, what I used, especially with women, what I would do in the past is if they looked worried, I would worry. Oh. But I was like, I can't do that. Like, because of what I've been learning, I have to not be concerned with anything external. I got to bring what I came here to bring, which was
right.
So the parent mentioned something that wasn't happening, and I just kept bringing it right back to, yes, that's why we're going to do this now moving forward.
Perfect.
Yes, because
and then switch it.
Yeah, and then, you know, because rationally, this could have turned into, like, legal things, like trying to struggle, well, how are we going to do it? But mm-hmm. I was like, none of that's going to help anyone.
No.
So I just kept smiling and going, yep, that's why I'm doing this. Yep. And by the end, I dug in deep and I said, you know, I know the kid is struggling in this area. It sounds like but I got to tell you, he's a new person from when I met him.
Yes.
His light is shining. He doesn't have his hood over his head. Now he's interacting with his peers. We're finally getting to the bottom of why is he having challenges learning? And the whole timbre and the feeling of the meeting turned around, and the mom was just so appreciative, and the teacher, but it was, I had to shut out caring and just go purple, right?
Yes.
Like, in a meeting where it wasn't like the light in my old mind was like, it's not safe to glow purple. I was like, I don't care. I'm going to glow purple and see what happens.
Did I tell you, there's a trick that I use on Zoom, because I was talking with Kathy Norman, and we were talking about how when you're all gung-ho, just like you in this meeting, but then you look on, I'm giving a Zoom, but this is for if this happens on Zoom, and you know, all those faces are there, and you see a couple of people going,
There's always those.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, she was saying, oh, when that happens, I got to really pull myself out. Or if I see a person, she'll see someone that she didn't expect to be at the meeting that in the past was a bad experience. Like, so I said, you know what I do, Kathy? I say, I pin my face as the big face.
You can't get distracted.
I can't see anybody else. And what it does is I'm empowered because all I'm seeing is my face and I don't want to look at that. So I'm looking right in the camera and there's nothing there. I'm not disempowered by anyone else's expression. And everyone else is responding like, wow, that was awesome. It's because I used that trick for myself. Because if I see these, sometimes my mind will get the best of me and start telling me a story.
That's a great one.
Start shrinking because you don't want to upset anyone.
Well, let me tell you a story. When I first started teaching my workshops, I knew I needed to speak, you know, to get people into telling what I did and how I did it and all. And you would think that having been an actress, it was easy. It was the hardest thing I ever did because I was showing up as myself.
Yes.
With my words and my ideas, and I was totally petrified.
Uh-huh.
So I was speaking for about a year and just being so nervous. I had to memorize everything because if I held a piece of paper, it shook. So I go to speak. I'm speaking to 100 women at this group, and I'm doing this whole thing. Oh, I have a bad hair day today. Oh, I spilled coffee on my suit. I hope I don't forget my words and blah, blah. And I got up to the front podium and I stopped for a moment and I just looked out at the audience. And this was 1991 and it was a recession and people were worried about money. The title of the talk was Financial Stress Reduction. And it suddenly hit me, this all happened in a flash, that these people came to hear about financial stress reduction and they did not give a hang about what I look like or if I had a bad hair day or any of that. They hoped to God that I had something that would help them in their life.
Yes.
And in that moment, in that flash, I knew that I did have it. I looked at a couple of people and I saw them leaning forward, looking anxious and hopeful. And I said this prayer in that moment to myself. I said, God, please put the words in my mouth that need to be heard tonight to help somebody.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I felt all of the nervousness like a liquid from the top of my head out my toes and my fingers, and I was rock solid. Yeah. I never looked at a note. I just spoke from my heart.
Yes.
And got a standing ovation.
Wow.
It was the most awesome thing. And yes. I have said that prayer every day yes. since then, because I don't know whether I'm going to be right. in front of That's one it. Person or 100 people or 1,000 people.
Yeah, all God needs is an open channel.
Yes.
You know, 2 days later after I had that meeting with that and that teacher was there,
yeah.
my mind still thought maybe she was offended because she thought I was trying to, like, put one over on this parent or something. Like, then my brain, because she's a kind of a new teacher. My brain, whatever it is about this person, projection-wise. Yeah. Like, so, but I just kept blessing it. Not my business. Right? Even if that was what they thought, not my business. Yeah. 2 days later, I'm in the most boring training in the world. This is so perfect for what you're saying. Like, about something that I'm good at. But it just was like, it wasn't connecting. There was so much information. I couldn't, but there's nothing for the info to connect to.
Well, it's like yeah. we were saying, it's because the wrong person is presenting. If it's presented in an academic, intellectual, yeah. non-feeling way.
Yeah, we're if it's empaths, data, it's we just need data. Story. Yeah.
If as teachers, this is what Carl Rogers was saying, the best skill is empaths. We're empaths.
Yes.
Not data people. Like I can have data, but I need the empath to be fed first. Why? Like, what am I feeling here? What is this for?
Right.
And so, we all had different colored post-its and we had to get in groups. And wouldn't you know, that teacher got the same post-it I did. It happened to be in the same training out of 20.
Wow.
We're sitting next to each other. And part of me is just like, why am I?
Resistance.
Like, part of me was just like thinking so much. I'm like, why? I don't know what this is that my brain, like if I was healthy, I wouldn't even be thinking twice about who's sitting next to me. I just kept asking God to clear it, letting God come through, like, pretending like I'm myself in a way, like, you know, like the happy me.
Yeah.
And then something shifted. The person behind us who worked at a different school started sharing what they do at their school in terms of collaborating between, she's a gen ed teacher, a special ed teacher. And all of a sudden it bridged the gap, because one of the things that has, I think, expressed through us in that conflict was that our school, so there's some things that are poorly run in terms of how the general ed and special ed collaborate. Mm-hmm. And I think that day we collided, we were both feeling small and frustrated about that. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the solutions to that started coming through. And first, it scared me because we started laughing and having fun again together about this. And but then I felt like she was looking at me like, why don't we do what they do? So I spoke like, well, at our school, we're working on that happening, but it's not really there. And it's frustrating for both sides. Short story long, eventually we were laughing. We learned about the new AI we can use. And I don't know, just God healed, lifted all the nonsense. It just brought it back to the natural, joyful relationship we had before any of that happened. And I just got to keep on moving. I can't think about it, but like kind of wrap my brain rationalizing it. But it doesn't matter. It's God just needs a receptive channel through which life can express. Mm-hmm. And as I listen to you all, it's I'm still, you know, it's this show is a practice for us, is a process of me just letting go. I'm realizing why, like, the best place to be is in any moment going, ooh, I could try that. I could do that. Yeah. I could do that right yeah. now. It doesn't matter what I've ever done before. And I talk to people and I counsel some people on the phone and stuff. And it's like, I was talking to someone about this, like, when there's this voice that's saying, but I'm like this. I have not to ask myself, but who's saying that? Like,
that's right.
The only place that's coming from is some weird voice, like a tape within myself. And it doesn't exist anywhere else that says who I am.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, someone else could say it, but it doesn't matter unless there's something coming from within me that's going, that's who I am. That's how. But we can change that. I can change that whole yes. thing, because I'm so much more like you or like Daryl than you guys are describing, than this sort of character that I was sort of not always lovingly convinced that I had to play that role. I often fearfully convinced that you better do it that way. You know what I'm saying? It's
yes.
like, so I love all these tools you're helping. You're sharing to help me continue to step boldly into being the lead singer of the band of my own life, as my friend Robert Leshock said it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Just be the, because I've sung in a lot of bands and I love music. It comes to me very easily. I write lyrics, songs, and this and that. And that's
nice.
And so I was thinking about you. It's like, how's God going to use all of this expertise I've gained in the teaching, but it's really working with people, collaborating with people, helping people to bring out the best, see the obvious, you know, like let that light shine, combined with my ability to write songs, be in front of people, all of that stuff. Your story, like, it's really exciting for me because I'm like, I know that's exactly what's happening right now. These two things that have felt different are not different at all. It's one me. No,
it's
all
one
forward.
Path.
Yeah.
And I remember talking with a friend once, and I was upset about something that I had left the road. You know, I had seen life as this one bright, shining road, and you're supposed to be on it all the time. And I had gone off some dark path, and why did I do that? She said, Chelly, you never left the road. You were always on the road. You were just in the shitty part of it.
Yeah. Right.
And I went, oh, and that made perfect sense. Because sometimes it's a walk in the meadow with bright sun, and sometimes it's rainy stuff. There's a point in The Simpsons where Homer is canoeing down a river, and the river divides in two, and one is sunshine and rainbows and gold and flowers and butterflies, and the other one is thunderstorms and hurricanes and tornadoes, and he looks at both of them, and then he goes down the one for the tornadoes and the hurricanes.
Yeah.
Because
it's familiar.
Well, because it's familiar and because it's an adventure.
Oh, that too.
And we want to have an adventure. We don't want it to always be safe.
Yeah, you know, 3 years ago, I ended up at this school because the leadership at my school, I was the inclusion specialist for 13 years, and then I was teaching this moderate severe class that that's like the next level of like disabilities or whatever you want to call it, learning challenges. And then they go, oh, we put you in that job, but you don't have that credential. We're going to send you to this school, and you're going to be doing this. And I ended up being the resource specialist for the last 3 years. And that was something that my brain was always like, I couldn't do that. That's so scary. But it felt like a movie. I was like, dude, I'm like 47. And now I'm like starting over in a way. This is like the movie that I had to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. I just felt like, what the heck has happened here? But in those, I've become so much more of myself in those 3 years. Like, so much of what I thought was me was stripped away, and I've done it. I've successfully rebuilt a program. There was no one there from the program before, and I've rebuilt in a whole new way and set the table for whatever's going to come next.
Yes.
It will be better.
It will be exciting and fabulous and wonderful.
Yeah, and not just for me, but and for the people at that school. Yeah. And whoever, like, I've done things my own way. I've stepped out boldly, I've ignored all the rules, and I've brought out the best in students and created a program that's what it's about. So whoever slides in next, this precedent will be there, because now it's like time to start looking forward to like next year and decide, like, because I'm feeling that call to step out boldly, because there's like a letter of intent, what am I going to do next year?
Yeah.
And I was just meditating on this, because there's a part of me that's like, better just sign it, so I'll have the job. But I was thinking, what if I didn't sign that letter of intent to come back? Like, what if this was the time? Because it is about intention, you know?
Yeah.
So, what is your real intention?
Yeah, so I'm meditating on that and looking and letting go of the fear and starting in the workshop of my imagination. Like, why would I be afraid of that to even ponder that option in my imagination? That's like...
Well, yeah, it's like scary. Oh, yeah. Because there's the known and we feel secure with the known. And when we step outside the known... It's like worrisome. I saw a meme on Facebook I really loved, and it said, it had a big square, and it had this little piece over here. It says, your comfort zone. And then out here, it said, where the magic happens.
Yeah, it's true.
Because there's a point at which we have to let go of one trapeze in order to catch the next one, and we have to trust that it's going to be there, or if it's not there and we fall, falling will be a good thing.
Yeah.
So it's always looking at what's the joy, where's the next joyful thing coming from, what do I need to do to show up for it, how do I get dressed in my mind and my body for it, how do I... collect the people, the other dolphins in my pod who are going to help me to do this. And I've always thought of my workshops, it's 2 hours a week for 8 weeks. I've always thought of it as giving some skill sets and some data and then giving permission.
Yeah,
I just give permission. Yes, you can do that. Yes, of course you can do that. Yeah, go for it.
That's it.
You're going to learn something. That's it. And if it's not, that's not the end result. You'll see something else.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
There's this thing called the processional effect. So back in high school, I'm at point A, and I'm looking at point B as being an Academy Award-winning actress. So I take all the little baby steps to get there. You know, I try out for the school plays, and I go to UC Santa Barbara. I was a classmate of Michael Douglas. We did a show together. It was fun. But we all knew he was going to be a star, okay? And the rest of us were hoping. And so then I come to Hollywood and I'm getting an agent and I'm going on auditions. And then I see this new thing, be a bookkeeper, be an office manager. But from that point, which I call X on the road from A to B, I see point C, and it looks better to me right then because I haven't been, the road of the acting wasn't what I expected. I had a dream about what it was. But for me, it wasn't that. And like doing five shows a day, 5 days a week for 9 months out of Disneyland was like the most bored I had ever been. After 2 weeks, I was like done. And so I turned right and I found point C. And then after that, I found point D with a bookkeeping service. And then point E, teach workshops and then write books. And everything leads on to the next thing. You just see another horizon, another possibility, another thing.
And be willing to go for it.
Yes. That's the big willingness. And I've seen a lot of people, you know, who never left Whittier. And they still think the thoughts that I thought when I was back in Whittier, although I always wanted a little more. And they like that life and the Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best life. And good for them. We need that too. But that's not for me.
Yeah,
I saw this as an endless adventure, an endless road of possibility that I could do anything I put my mind to do. My mother said that. And I believe her.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to experience. And I can fall down because there's this wonderful quote from this woman named Catherine Aird. She said, well, if you can't be a good example, then you'll just have to be a terrible warning.
Yeah.
Amen.
So sometimes in my class, I'm saying, okay, let me tell you the warning story.
Yes.
Don't do this. Or if you do this, this is how you recover. Because that's one of the tools in the toolbox is how do I recover from bankruptcy or foreclosure or a bad marriage? And I've done all these things. So, but it's all learning and it's all growth. And every time I've had a bad experience, it becomes a page in the wealthy spirit. It becomes something to teach somebody else who has also done it. I'd say there's recovery after that.
Yes.
Well, I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous 30 years. So... it's just, you know, I've made all the mistakes loudly, and I'm happy for them because I've learned so much.
Yeah.
And then I can say to somebody else who is suffering, I've been there, I've suffered too, and there's a road out of it, and these are some of the things you can do, and be kind to yourself. Oh, I just saw this. I posted it on my Facebook page because it was so cute. It says, we're always our inner voices being so mean. We're saying, why did you do that? You're so stupid. You shouldn't have done that. You should do better. When really what we should be doing is talking to ourselves like we talk to our dogs.
Yeah.
Nice doggy, nice girl. Oh, you're so good. Let me rub your belly.
Yeah.
You hear that voice that you talk to an animal with? Why are we doing that with ourselves?
Right.
That's, we just have a lot of bad learning, and we have to get rid of it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the calming of the storms. That's the being the Christ to calm the storms and peace be still. I used that last night because at first it feels like that voice. Sometimes it's because it feels like that voice is our protector, but we don't realize it's actually the voice that needs love. It's not protecting us at all. It's telling us it's scared and needs love. And then when I realize that and then start saying it's okay.
Yes.
I love you. You can calm down and use all that imagination and power for things that are joyful and fun. All right. All right. Yeah? All right. So Chelsea Campbell.
Yes.
Oh, she has to read. You're an author of The Wealthy Spirit.
She's got to read it.
Oh, wow. Let's do that, and then we're going to wrap up the show. We have been having a heck of a time. Time's been flying. We appreciate you for being here.
Indy's looking maybe it hasn't been flying too much. You got to watch the YouTube video to see what Indy looks like at this point in the show.
Oh, okay. I hear him laughing. He's so funny. I give thanks for my unlimited supply of both seen and unseen blessings. Do you think in terms of what you have or in terms of what you lack? Regretting what you do not have is the quickest, easiest way to unhappiness. no clown chakra. You'll always have available material for your unhappiness if you want it. If you have this habit of thinking of what you lack, change it. One of the most effective ways to experience more is to give thanks for what you have. If you can be happy with and grateful for what you have right now, then anything extra you receive only adds to your happiness. Be radiantly joyful because of your present blessings. They are gifts of God to you. Thus, you will open out a way for even more good to come into your life. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Yes.
Psalm 103:2-5, Joyce Kramer.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Do I read this too?
No. That was okay. I don't know how that got stuck in there too. Okay. I was wondering why that reading was so long when I pasted it. Yeah. Well, how can people reach out and join you in the fun of living prosperously?
Well, you can go to my Facebook page or Instagram or anything. Everything is Chelly Campbell. I don't have fancy little titles or handles or anything. If you can spell Chelly, C-H-E-L-L-I-E, you can get me because my website's Chelly.com.
Brilliant.
My email is Chelly@Chelly.com.
Yes.
My Facebook is Chelly Campbell. It's just find me.
It's that easy.
Yeah.
I knew this was going to be wonderful because I literally saw hundreds of dolphins this week while surfing, and I just randomly chose a talk of yours to listen to, and you said something about all the dolphins and loving the dolphins and dolphin necklace you were wearing, and I was like, all right, this is going to be a great episode, and it has turned out to be that. We have a quick story. You may or may not remember this, but when Chelly was still searching for her path in life, she was working at a hotel in San Diego. A man had checked into the hotel the day before and ordered a 5 a.m. wake-up call. The next morning, Chelly was working, but missed the memo and didn't give the wake-up call until 5:30. The man on the other end yelled,
"You were supposed to call us at 5 a.m. What if I had to close a $1 million contract this morning? Your oversight would have cost me the deal."
Chelly calmly replied,
"Sir, if you had to close that type of deal, I doubt you'd be staying at this hotel."
Oh, that's good.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there was a man named Archie. And
oh, wait, I got to say, if you want to do my workshop.
Oh, yeah, say do if you want to do your workshop. If,
yeah, because I'm doing a workshop, The Intuitive Method, and you can find the link on darylanned.com. And it's going to be a method of visual art making that enables participants to experience the joy of recognizing and acting on their intuition in the moment. And once you start engaging with actively listening to your intuition in this, you know, method of just doing art, well, then the genie's out of the bottle, and now you become more aware of those hunches like you were talking about, and you have more confidence to follow those in your everyday affairs. So that's why this way of creative art, visual art making gets, if you want to be a better attorney, do it. If you want to be a better musician, do it. If you want to be a better accountant, do it.
Fabulous.
Because it's going to help with that. And all that information is on darylanned.com. It's going to be via Zoom the 4 Wednesdays in April at 4 p.m. Pacific time. So you can find out everything about that at darylanned.com.
Yeah, it's going to be super good. I love the feeling of doing art with Fizarro. You've done a lot of art with my students.
Yes.
And
before, when they used to allow visitors into this compound.
Yeah. All right. If you want to do any great ideas, you've got great ideas, you want to collaborate on Ed's new life adventure, let me know, man. Or if you need, if you ever had any challenges with your kids or schools, and like you want an inspired perspective, reach out to me because. What the hell? I've been doing it in a way I never thought I'd do for 27 years. I may as well use it for the highest good.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm very good at what I do. But I'll tell you this. Daryl and I both agree. Chelly, we just can't believe the loveliness of loving you. We just can't believe it's true. We just can't believe the wonder of this feeling too. We just can't believe it's true.
Ah, jelly.
Ah, money, money. You are a candy girl. And you got us loving you.
Visit DarylNed.com to find Chelly.com
also.
Easy links to everything.
Chelly Campbell on Facebook.
DarylNed.com.
And thanks for being a part of Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed and Chobi.
Ah, Chelly.
Ah, money, money. You are our candy girl. And you got us loving you.
Thank you for listening to The Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed. Listen in as these unlikely saints share more real-life stories of how surrendering to divine order always leads to better-than-expected outcomes. This program has been made possible by God through automated monthly transfers from Daryl and Ed's credit cards.
$500.
Really?
See, $200 for you, sir.
$100 for you.
What the heck?
Oh, no.
$100
for you. Are you
serious?
Yeah,
I'll
give you $100.
Thank you so much.
When you record your podcast at Chobo Studios, you're helping people in need. Here at Chobo, we take a bold stance on helping the community by giving away 10% of all revenue, not just profit, to kind, hardworking people in the streets of Los Angeles. And thanks to all these wonderful podcasters, we've been able to give $1,400 this year alone through our kindness initiative, Chobo Kindness, brought to you by Chobo Studios, LA's premier podcasting powerhouse. Follow for more.